It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Mike Vrabel this morning in Palm Beach, Florida. League meetings.
Patriots have won March.
They did. Which he's saying tongue-in-cheek. He makes it clear he's joking around. But there is an energy in the building and an excitement based on what they've been able to do, according to Mike Vrabel, who reiterated, we want to win the division. We want to host playoff games. Earlier this offseason, he's made no promises about a timetable for that. But I thought that was an interesting answer from Vrabel earlier today, just joking about winning March. And I know he kind of put the train back on the tracks there at the end. I wonder how Kraft feels about that. Like, Kraft was taking a lot of credit for spending a lot of money in free agency, introducing Davis and Milt the Stilt and Spillane and Morgan Moses. He was up there leading the charge for that.
Four horsemen.
And then, like, a couple of weeks later, Vrabel's like, yeah, we won March. Ha, 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 ha.
But
I wonder how that sits with Kraft.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones where they are getting a lot of positive, you know, publicity because of the signings. And so, but you know that you can't stop there. Like, you know that that's not the be-all, end-all by any stretch. But at least you had a positive March. We've gone the last couple of years without a positive March.
True.
Last year, all it was re-signing guys. And we're like, really? Your first year after Bill, you're just bringing back all Bill guys? You're going to tell everybody how he can't draft, but then you're going to re-sign all the guys that he drafted. Got it. Like, okay, that makes sense. So this year, there is some positivity. But knowing that that only gets you so far, like, you still need to go and win games and win the division and host playoff games and all the other stuff. So that part is good. But I also think you get the sense that Vrabel is pretty happy with how this offseason has gone. You know, he's gotten a bunch of his guys. They have spent money. So that's a positive thing. So I'm sure when he took the job, these were some of the things that were told to him. But until you actually are able to go out there and get the right guys that you wanted to get, you didn't really know.
No, I'm sure Mayo thought they were going to spend a lot of money.
He told Greg as much.
Talking about burning cash and this and that. And I'm sure Mayo expected they were going to do more than they did. And so you're right. Just because Kraft tells you something when he hires you, that's different than actually following through and doing it. And the Patriots, to a large degree, have followed through and doing it. What else jumped out to you from Mike Vrabel today?
Well, he was comfortable. That's kind of what he is, though, I feel like, in these settings. I did think some of the talk about the left tackle jumped out. I think it was also a Karen exchange. Karen asked him about this question here, about winning March. And then it was the whole thing about left tackle because he had done an interview a while ago, and he was saying how, you know, he wants to be able to line up and play before the draft comes. So the draft is now less than a month away. They have been as active as any team this offseason in free agency. So they have plugged a lot of gaps thus far, but they don't have a left tackle. And he mentioned Caden Wallace, he mentioned Vidarian Lowe, and he mentioned the draft. So this is the first time, I think, where he's looked at the starter at that position might have to come through the draft. But I kind of appreciate his honesty because, yeah, that's what it's looking like. You know, you might, you know, you got Steph Diggs, you got Robert Spillane, you got Carlton Davis, you got Milton Williams. So you have all these guys that are kind of added to the team that are probably, you know, barring health, day one starters. Left tackle is certainly wide open, but he sort of points to, yeah, it might have to be the draft.
He mentioned that today. He also said you got to look at Will Campbell as a left tackle.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's a bit of a tell at pick four. I hope not. I wouldn't take him at four. I don't think he's a left tackle, but I do wonder if Vrabel was giving that up a little bit or if he's just not shutting anything down, not saying too much, just answering it. Yeah, you got to look at him as a left tackle.
Plus, you don't want to lower anybody's value.
Correct.
And so by saying he's a left tackle, that makes it look more valuable. So whether
that's
a trade,
you want to move up to four take a left tackle. Will Campbell's your left tackle. Now, one thing I was starting to consider that I think Vrabel effectively ruled out today, because he didn't mention Morgan Moses in the left tackle mix. I was starting to wonder with all the different mock drafts. So mock draft Monday, we gave you the Bill Barnwell mock earlier today with all the trades. But I was looking at a few different ones, including Eric Edholms at NFL.com. And you start to see Armon Membu, the right tackle out of Missouri, mocked to the Patriots quite a bit at four. And the logic is, well, he played right tackle in college, but he could move to left tackle. I was starting to wonder if they would consider moving Morgan Moses to left tackle and drafting Membu to just play him at right tackle. Listening to Vrabel there, Moses is not in the mix whatsoever at left tackle. It's Vidarian Lowe, it's Caden Wallace.
Right.
And it's the draft. So I think you can rule that one out.
Maybe they told him he's playing right tackle like they told Devers he's playing third base. So, no, but that also, I think, maybe helps, too, with Onwenu. And, like, all right, you're the right guard. You don't have to worry about it. We have a real right tackle who's playing right tackle. Bradbury's the center, so you have a center. So, all right, you got to start somewhere. So maybe three-fifths of their offensive line is already solved.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's Cole Strange or not at left guard. But then, yeah, what's it going to be at left tackle? And I don't know. I think Vrabel's sort of leaving that door open. Now, let me ask you, if you think Campbell's a guard, Membu was a right tackle, more likely to be a good left tackle, Campbell with the short arms or a guy that has played exclusively on the right side?
I would probably go Campbell there.
Okay.
Like, who am I more comfortable taking if they move down to, like, 6, 7, 8?
Yeah.
I am more comfortable taking Campbell.
Yeah.
And if they draft Campbell, they should absolutely try him at left tackle.
Oh, I think any team that drafts him is playing him at left tackle to start.
It's the same thing as Hunter. Like, if I'm drafting Travis Hunter, and we'll get to Vrabel's answer on Hunter here coming up in a moment. If I'm drafting Travis Hunter, I'm going to make him fail at both positions before I just say, just start at one or the other. I'm going to give him both and see how much he can handle. And if he proves he can't do it, well, then maybe I'll lighten his load a little bit. Same with Will Campbell. What's more likely? At least Campbell plays on the left side and he was a collegiate left tackle. So I would go Campbell. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I don't feel great about either of those at four, which is part of the reason I've been talking up Genty and I've been talking up Tyler Warren. If Campbell and Hunter are gone, I'm sorry, Carter and Hunter are gone at pick four, that's why I'd go that way. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. We'll get into some season expectations. You heard Mike Vrabel talking about it there. I thought Curran, who we'll talk to tomorrow on a Tommy Tuesday, had some interesting or an interesting way of looking at the Patriots' expectations the next couple of years. But here's Mike Vrabel when asked about Travis Hunter. He was asked about some of these specific prospects earlier today. We played you the Campbell answer earlier. You got to look at him as a left tackle. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say about Travis Hunter and his success at the next level.
Or do you have to evaluate him as just a corner, just a wide receiver?
I don't know how anybody could say how hard it would be. We've never seen a player, necessarily do it. I think that there are some things that he can improve on by, you know, probably concentrating on more than just on one position, but never going to put any restrictions on Travis or any player. We try to, as much as they can handle, that we're going to continue to put more on their plate. And so if he were on our football team and he showed a great skill at one position and was starting to really do well in his conditioning and it didn't fall off and it didn't drop, you know, we would be open to playing everybody that we had at more than one position. Anything that would help the football team, I would be all in favor of.
Does he have to have a primary, though, a primary position?
Well, I think to improve, I think there has to be a primary focus just to be able to get some of the details that are going to be required at this league. So, you know, we'll see, you know, once everybody's on our football team, where they end up playing or where they end up starting out and practicing.
Okay. I don't love that answer from Vrabel, to be honest. And it's very similar to what Wiggy says. Wiggy's like, you gotta focus on one and all the, you know, the tactical aspects of that position and, you know, the mechanics of the route running and the fine tuning of all of those skills at the next level. I don't like that answer. That sounds to me like they're gonna put him on one side of the ball.
So have you ruled out, just you, not Vrabel, have you ruled out him playing every snap, offense and defense?
Every
snap? At some point. Yeah. Like a Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds
probably,
like a lot.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
As much as I'm high on him, like, that seems like quite a lot. Like, could you build to that? Maybe. Because nobody would have said a couple of years ago that a D1 college player would play every snap both sides. You know, Charles Woodson, Champ Bailey, guys played a lot, but I don't think it was as much as Travis Hunter played.
No.
So maybe, like, the first thought is, like, how many coaches would even be open to that? Probably not too many. And then from there is, what's better, 100% of the snaps on one and then, like, a little percentage on the other? Are you getting more value there, or would you get more value
50-50
kind of thing?
Yeah.
And I don't know. And like the way the Patriots are built right now with Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis, I feel like there's probably less desire to have him be an every down defensive player, which he's probably better suited for right now. And then based on what the offense looks like, even if Steph Diggs returns, Travis Hunter, there's probably more value for the Patriots to have him as a wideout. It really depends on what team drafts him.
Yeah.
You know, what they really need.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming up.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I don't want him to be like Marcus Jones, where it's like, here's five players.
Isn't that what that answer sounds like?
He did say he's going to sort of pick one. He said we're not going to... He needs to prioritize one.
He said we're not going to rule anything out. So he left the door open, but he said, you know, how you get better... And I'm paraphrasing, but how you get better is you have a primary position and you get better at that day over day. Yeah. And then we can throw more at you on the other side of the ball. That sounds to me like he'd be certainly to start one side of the ball or the other. I don't love that.
Yeah, but then that makes me feel less likely of them taking him at four. So I keep going back to, I think any team taking him in the top five has to give that a rip. Like, you got to try him playing both sides of the ball and as much as he possibly can. Just like you got to try Will Campbell at left tackle for as long as until he proves he can't do it. I think you do the same thing with Hunter.
Agreed.
Now, it's a bit apples to oranges, but you need to throw a lot at him and be like, hey, however they did it, you can even talk to Dion about it. Be like, all right, what does a practice look like for Travis Hunter? How much is he with the first team offense versus the first team defense? And like, how do you even balance that? But clearly he picked that up just fine. And it was like, oh, the NFL's so different. I don't know. NFL offenses are looking a lot more similar to college offenses and vice versa. So I think they probably already have a bit of a blueprint from Colorado on how Travis Hunter can do it. Like, is it, are you worried just throwing him like all that at him mentally, or is it a physical grind? Is it, oh, you're going up against faster guys? Like, I wonder what the main obstacle is that Mike Vrabel or whatever the coach thinks it is for Hunter.
I think listening to him and listening to Wiggy, and in fairness to Wiggy, Vrabel answered, I think, very similar to how Wiggy has a lot when he talks about it with Greg and Curtis and Courtney and everybody, is you're not going to get better because you're not working on your craft. And so the level of improvement won't be as much because you're splitting your time between the two. So how much better as a tactical route runner can you get? How much better technique-wise as a defensive back can you get if you're splitting the time working on both? You're just getting by on athleticism, or you're getting by on your base level talent when you entered the league.
Yeah.
The room for improvement isn't there, and I heard some of that in Vrabel's answer as well.
Yeah.
Which, I guess I understand it, but I wouldn't, I'm like you. I would let the kid go out there and prove he can't do it before I take it away from him, because he might just be special enough where most people wouldn't get better. He might be the rare exception to the rule, and I don't get why you'd put that limitation on him. So that was Vrabel earlier today at the league meetings in Palm Beach. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. This is a good one. Jones wouldn't take Campbell with the fourth pick. Okay, they should, because what the hell do you know? I mean, fair point. I mean, that's you're not wrong about that.
Yeah.
But I have, even long before he measured in at the combine or anything like that, I talking about Campbell in the entire pre-draft process, you knew he was small. You knew there were questions about his arm length. I never thought he was a tackle. If I'm wrong about him, I'll be wrong about him. But I would say, listening to Vrabel today, I think it's way more likely they're taking Campbell at four than I would have thought going into the day. But that's me reading into it.
I also don't know. Like, I wonder if Vrabel and those guys, their conversation, do they think Travis Hunter's even available to them? Because that's the other thing. Depending on what, you know, mock draft or draft expert you read, either it's two quarterbacks in the top three or it's only one. And that obviously is a big difference for the Patriots.
There's a lot of Shadur falling in mocks these days, which who knows if that's accurate or not, or reflective of the way the league's looking at it. But a lot of the mocks, and I read a lot of them, have Shadur falling into the teens, sometimes the 20s. So that would be bad news if you want Travis Hunter at four. 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Tommy Curran, who we'll talk to tomorrow, wrote about the Patriots needing to nail the draft this year and build up their core. Curran asked Vrabel about it today. You know, Vrabel said the drafting is critical to building your team year over year, which we get. Curran wrote that this is a rebuilding year for the Patriots. If they hang around the outskirts of the playoff hunt, that's probably a success. We agree with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Be in on the hunt.
Be on the outskirts of the playoff hunt, as you said it, Keefe. December on CBS with Spiro Ditas and Arch.
They pop up the standings for you. Who's in, who's the wild cards, and who's in the hunt.
Put the graphic up there beyond the graphic. Okay.
Even if it's barely. Even if it's like, how are they in the
hunt?
Why
are you even on there?
Or whatever. It's like, I don't care.
You're on
there. Two games. As long as they're not eliminated by the time, you know, the last couple of weeks are, that counts.
I think that would probably be a success. Now, you know, there is a negotiation within there. Do they start 5-1 or something like that and fall off? I mean, maybe I would feel differently about
that. Yeah, are you losing to the Browns in like a ridiculous fashion and all that kind of thing? Yeah, there's
But in general, you're in the hunt.
Yep.
I'll feel pretty good about this year. Curran then gets to 2026. He says next year, they should be challenging for a playoff berth deep into the season, if not getting in. And in 2027, they should be a playoff team. That, I imagine, is consensus among fans and media. Is that consensus? They're out of the playoffs the next 2 years, maybe challenging for a spot, but not in the playoffs. The first year with Mike Vrabel and Drake May, the quarterback and the coach, the first year you're in the playoffs is 2027?
No, not for me.
Way too slow.
That's way too long of a process, and that might be a little bit more kind of grounded, I guess, if you're just looking at Mike Vrabel's Patriots. But, you know, we got to look at this from the fan base perspective and say, all right, this has been going on 7 years since Tom Brady, 5 years since Bill Belichick, and then that's when they're in the playoffs again. I know they had the 1 year without Brady that they made the playoffs, but still, it's been three straight years. So now on this sort of exercise, it'd be 5 years missing the playoffs. So now Drake May, so maybe Tom just doesn't think Drake May is very good if he can't make the playoffs at that point. We can ask him about it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I just think if he's going to be knocking on the door of being a top 10, top 12 quarterback in football, which I think some believe he could be. And if you think Mike Vrabel's a really good head coach, which a lot of us think that he is, Yeah, you can turn that around. I mean, this isn't winning the Super Bowl. This is getting in the playoffs. Like, Bo Nix just got in the playoffs. My guy, Bo Nix.
Your guy.
Just made the playoffs.
Not Bo Picks.
Nope. The Texans have gotten in the last couple of years. The Commanders went from 4 wins to 10 and in the playoffs.
They're in the NFC title game.
They're right. Not just in the playoffs. So I'm not even saying that. Just making the playoffs. The 2021 Patriots made the playoffs. If think about that team.
If they don't make the playoffs in the first 2 years under Vrabel.
That's not ideal.
I don't get the point of hiring Vrabel. Mm. Like, the idea with hiring Vrabel and not Ben Johnson or another offensive whiz kid, my guy, Duval,
yep.
Liam Cohen. The idea is you're bringing in an established coach who can turn things around quickly. I mean, that's part of the idea. If you're not in the playoffs the first 2 years, that's a failure.
Duval.
Like, if you're just going to miss the playoffs the next 2 years, bring in Duval.
Yeah,
or bring in Ben Johnson. Like, do the growing pains with a coach with more upside.
Yeah.
And, you know, more high-end potential,
you know,
than a guy like Vrabel. Vrabel's here for the quick fix, get us to the playoffs quickly. That's why he's here.
Another one that flew under the radar, because we talk about Washington and Houston a lot as examples, especially with the young quarterback. But even the Chargers, 2 years ago, won 5 games. And then Harbaugh comes in, they win 11 and make the playoffs.
You brought up the Broncos, Keith. I think they won 7 that year with Russell Wilson. So they were more in the teens.
They won 8 even, but whatever. The point is they were a non-playoff team. And then Bo Nix and Sean Payton got
They looked
the
like
playoffs.
A mess with no talent on the roster. And 1 year later, they're into the postseason. So you can turn it around pretty quickly. It's the NFL. It happens all the time. You don't have that long of a runway, Mike Vrabel. And the expectation, I hope, from the fan base, let us know if we're wrong, but I hope the expectation isn't we'll see you in 2027 and you hope to sneak in the playoffs by then, because then what? You sneak in and you get bounced? How long till they're winning playoff games? 2028? 2029?
Because 10-7 seems like, since the new format with the extra wildcard team, 10-7 is basically a shoe-in, and then there's even been examples of 9-8 getting in. Now that might, you know, tiebreaker or whatever, but that isn't really that much of a big ask.
No.
So, yeah, you've bottomed out these last 2 years, and you have the quarterback. So, one of the, like, if you have the quarterback, it's funny, most years you can look at best quarterbacks in both conferences, they make the playoffs.
Yep.
And then there's a couple, like, crazy stories where it's either a good team or whatever, team gets hot or whatever. But for the most part, if you think a guy is a good quarterback, like, Burrow is a big exception this year, not making it with Cincinnati.
And they still had a winning record. They didn't make it.
Yeah,
but
they
were 9-8.
Right. Yep. Yeah, well, they lost to the Pats. That's going to screw you. You know, you lose that, that should have counted as 3 losses. But no, I would say there might be some saying this year they make it. I'm not. I think there are going to be more like that 8-win team somewhere in there. But the following year, yeah, they better be in.
But you asked me last week, are they closer to 10 wins or 5 wins?
Oh, yeah. I think closer to 10.
Me too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, we'll find out who's right and who's wrong. But as the text line is pointing out, it's an easy schedule.
It's the easiest schedule.
It should not be that long of a timeline, which is why when Vrabel says we won March and we expect to be winning the division and hosting playoff games in short order, you don't have until 2027. You don't. But maybe you guys feel differently. Maybe you agree with Curran. You can weigh in. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to Rafael Devers' terrible weekend. Billy Lanny has details on the Red Sox here in trending. And when we come back, Stephon Diggs introduced on Friday. What do we expect out of Diggs this year, especially when digging in on the details of some of his contract aspects? We'll get to that right after Trending with Billy.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.